You're listening to The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's The Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Joe George, Andrew Carlson here, Josh as well. Josh, how do you say your last name?
Well, there's two ways to pronounce it. There's okay. The English way, which is Chavannes, but the origin is French. So really, it's supposed to be Chavannes, but I'm not trying to sound that bougie.
Josh Chavannes.
I messed with that. Chavannes? Okay.
You can find us on Twitter at Joe George Radio, at Carlson Radio, and at I Am J Chevy. You guys can hit us up on the text line, the phone line, 713-780-3776. The HRNP listener line, in fact. Yeah, I knew I forgot something, I'll show. Let's talk about the Texans here. So the draft is coming up. We got about 2 months, 2.5 months or so till the draft. Obviously, having the number two pick is still not what everyone wanted. They all wanted the number one pick. We're looking at all these mock drafts. People are trading in front of the Texans. The Texans are trading up. Well, so what we're going to do here is we're going to do a little get-to-know-you session for Andrew and I. And for the audience that might not know us that well, since we are just producers of the station. So we'll start here. Are you okay if the Texans trade up from 2 to 1 to get their guy?
As long as their guy is not Will Levis, okay. Absolutely.
All right. So Will Levis out. So you're anti-Jeremy Branham.
I'm not out entirely, but if for whatever reason he is your quarterback with that first pick in the first round, I am out.
I think ideally, I've been beating the drum. Like, you, if you have a guy that you love above the rest, you have to trade up. Like, if Nick Caserio evaluates Bryce Young as a significantly better quarterback than C.J. Stroud and Will Levis, you have to go get your guy.
Honestly, even if he's not significantly better, if he is better.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think if there is anything between the two guys and you think one is better than the other, you go up and get that guy.
Yeah,
no questions asked.
Yeah, I think so, too. And look, and I get it. Like, in a perfect world, the Texans have the number one pick. But we are past that.
Yeah.
Lovie Smith won
a game. No fixing it at this point.
Like, you can't fix it. You can't change it. You got to go get your guy. Like, if you really believe in him. And honestly, I think that's how it's going to play out. I don't think Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans are going to walk into the draft day and be like, look, we evaluate C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young at like a 90 and an 89. Because if they're that close, then don't trade up. But to me, like, there's going to be a big enough gap between the two that you got to go get them.
There always is. You always fall in love with one of the prospects during the draft process. It's just how it works. There is not ever going to be a point where you have two guys at that position graded identically and say, you know what, whichever one we are totally happy with. That will never, never happen.
Yeah, and that's, and we don't love it. Like, I don't want to see them. The only thing, the only exception to the rule, I would say, for me is I would not trade up if the Bears would only take your 2024 first-round pick.
Yeah, I think I agree with that because the Texans aren't going to be competitive enough next season to where you would imagine that's not a, what, top 10 pick?
I think it's like 7.
Yeah.
Like, I think 10 might be pushing it. Like, even if Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or Will Levis, let's say they're awesome, there's still a big talent gap on this roster. And you're going to be going into next year and just be, like, waiting. Like, if you lose that pick, it's going to crush you. Like, we'll use the team that's in front of you as the perfect example, right? The Chicago Bears say, we love Justin Fields. We're going to trade up to number 10 with the New York Giants, and we're going to get Justin. He has a rough rookie season, which results in the Bears having the 7th pick in the draft, giving the Giants 2 top 7 picks. So, I can't remember if they used that one for Thibodeau or Evan Neal, but the Bears, instead of getting a franchise left tackle or a franchise pass rusher, yes, you have your quarterback, but you had to get up. Now, there's this difference. They were moving from, like, the late teens to 10 to give up with the Giants. But, like, that's likely the way it plays out for the Texans. Look at the top this year. You've got the Seattle Seahawks at the 5th pick in the draft. They made the playoffs. They have the 5th pick because they gave up Russell Wilson to the Broncos, and the Broncos sucked. We saw it with the Seahawks inverse. They gave up a top 12 pick to the New York Jets because they gave up 2 first-round picks for Jamal Adams.
As Jake Asman reminds us almost every day.
One of the worst trades in the NFL. I mean, honestly. Like, it's a great trade for the Jets. I mean, for the Jets. But, like, awful trade for the Seahawks. I would never trade a first-round pick for a safety and pay that safety. I just don't value the position that way.
Oh, totally agree.
I value them like running backs. Like, once their rookie contract is up, let them go.
Go find another one.
Like, you can replace Jalen Petrie tomorrow. You can replace, look, Jalen Petrie replaced Justin Reed immediately. You can replace Jamal Adams. So, and then, so you're anti-Will Levis, which means your team...
Bryce Young.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to say fully on board the Bryce Young train versus C.J. Stroud.
Sure.
Like, let's say we get through the testing and C.J. Stroud just looks absolutely phenomenal. And I think that there's a chance that that happens. I don't expect it to, but I think there's a chance that that happens. But everything that I've seen on the field from these two guys, watching them over the last couple of years, Bryce Young, to me, has the most important trait a quarterback could possibly have in the fact that he's a problem solver. Like, he is presented with a set of issues, and he more often than not finds a way to get the job done and get the win and perform at a high level. I understand that everyone says, oh, he went to Alabama and he had just a ridiculous amount of talent around him.
Well, not this year.
You look at that roster that Alabama had this year, this is not the same Alabama of years past.
Yeah.
Like, he had a lot of issues that he had to figure out on the fly working with that team, with that wide receiver core, with an offensive line that was nowhere near the usual standard of what Alabama has. And typically, he did a damn good job of doing that. And for me, that just screams someone who is going to come in right away and help with a lot of what the Texans have. Because you know what the Texans do more than anybody else, at least currently? They present a lot of problems for their quarterback to solve. And hopefully, with a Shanahan-style offense,
yeah,
that stuff is simplified a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I see shades of Joe Burrow in Bryce Young. I'm not saying he's going to be Joe Burrow, but the way that he processes the game and the way that he figures things out reminds me a bit of what Joe Burrow brought to, you know, the LSU Tigers when he was in college and now to the Cincinnati Bengals.
And, like, I get it. Like, he's tiny, okay? Like, he might weigh in at 200 pounds at the combine and not work out. And then, like, this is what's likely, I think, going to happen. Bryce Young's going to weigh 200 pounds at the combine. He's not going to work out. Everyone's going to be excited. And then his pro day is going to happen. And he's going to work out, but he's not going to weigh in. So, he'll all the water weight, all the eating he's doing, whatever it is, to put on that extra 20 pounds of muscle, by the time he actually, like, works out for people, it's going to be gone. And on paper, it's going to look like he's 200 pounds and he worked out great. But in reality,
fudging the numbers a little bit.
He's kind of fudging the numbers a little bit. So it's like, it's not ideal. I am team Bryce Young also. And I think what you said is right, because there's two games for me that stand out above the rest for Bryce Young. It's when he played his worst and just not good, but they won. This year, the game versus Texas,
mm-hmm.
he was not his best. He was not a great quarterback. But when it mattered most, he took his team down the field and he won. He played worse the year before in the Iron Bowl. He was not good versus Auburn. But when it mattered most, he took his team down the field. He got a game-winning drive and he won it. And I get it. You can make the argument. I know he's trolling me a little bit and he's joking, but he's also serious. Jeremy Branham likes to bring up the fact that Bryce Young is the first quarterback in like six of them to not win a national championship. Well, Georgia's the powerhouse now. Like, I do not care that Alabama did not win a championship with Bryce Young.
Oh, that means nothing.
It means nothing to me.
Like, is it because of his performance specifically?
No.
Then, okay, then we're good.
Yeah. And, like, there are injury concerns. Like, he got beat up. You know, one thing Jeremy has pointed out, that people try to say that Bryce Young avoids contact really well. I don't think that's true also. Like, you do see, like, big hits. That has happened. So I'm team Bryce Young. I put C.J. Stroud second, just like you.
That's where I'm at, yeah.
I think it's close. Now, I've got my concerns. You know, as someone that is heavily invested in Justin Fields, like, I do see the concerns of an Ohio State quarterback that they don't run the most complicated offense in the world, that a lot of it's one read. You have, I mean, now his talent is unbelievable at what C.J. Stroud has had at Ohio State. You know, he had Olave. He had Jackson Smith and Jigba, Marvin Harrison. That guy, he might be. We could, like, I know there's two quarterbacks next year. There's Caleb Williams and Drake May. I feel pretty confident that, like, the draft order is going to be Caleb Williams, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr. next year. But, like, C.J. Stroud, like, I get the concerns. I get the Ohio State failures. I also don't think it's accurate in a way that, like, you know, Dwayne Haskins was a first-round pick. I don't think he was a great quarterback in college. I think that was a bad draft pick by the whatever Redskins Commanders football team they were at the time. I don't think that, like, we should have been expecting a lot out of Cardale Jones. Some people have, I've heard the name Troy Smith thrown out there.
At that point, we're going too far back. What you just can't compare at that
Troy
point.
Troy Smith played in, like, the played in like 2005. He doesn't count towards C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I think the idea of saying, oh, he's a quarterback from X school, he can't possibly be successful. I don't want to call it idiotic and be mean to somebody, but that's legitimately how I feel.
No, I agree.
Like, I don't think that unless that you have just undeniable trends in terms of the style of offense and the way that the quarterbacks attack the problems presented to them in almost an identical manner, I don't think that you can draw those type of comparisons. I will say for C.J. Stroud, that Georgia game showed so much in terms of, hey, this is what I'm capable of playing against this level of competition. Now, how much does one game change the way that you view somebody?
It's interesting. And that's difficult. It's so interesting because, I mean, using just like his predecessor as the comparison, a lot of people had concerns about Justin Fields. You know, as someone that, like, look, if you don't know, I'm a Bears fan, okay? When they drafted Justin, I was really excited. But the reason why, like, all the concerns are the same. The reason why was the, what, 6 touchdowns he threw in the college football playoff against Clemson. Like, it was an eye-opener of, like, what this guy can do. And, like, that's, for me, it is one game. But C.J. Stroud was awesome. You know, for the most part, he was really great in that Michigan game.
Yeah.
So, I am, personally, those two guys. And I'm almost kidding, but I think I'm also serious at the same time. I don't know if you can have a franchise quarterback that puts mayonnaise in his coffee. And Will Levis does that.
He does a lot of weird things. I don't know if you've seen him eating the banana from the year prior. Like, yeah, it's just very strange. Very, very, very strange.
With a
individual.
Peel on?
Yeah.
That's gross. What's weirder? Putting mayonnaise in your coffee or eating a banana with the peel?
They're both extremely strange, but I mean, I have to go mayo in the coffee there. Like, that is just, we tried it on the Wheelhouse after video came out. It was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting. And
did everyone try it?
Everyone that was on the show that day.
Oh, wait a minute.
I believe it was Cody who was not there.
Well, that means that Cody owes us one.
I don't think he's going to be paying that woman.
Maybe we'll get some coffee and mayonnaise when you guys are at Frankie's on Thursday. We can coerce Cody into doing that. It is the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Joe George, Andrew Carlson, Josh Chevenet. Am I close? I'm close. I didn't get it right, but he's on Twitter at IamJChevy. Andrew's on Twitter at Carlson Radio. I'm on Twitter at Joe George Radio. What do you want the Texans to add in free agency versus the draft? We hit on that next here on the bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe George and Andrew Carlson here with you on 97.5, 92.5. You're here with you till 2 o'clock. We'll be here every Saturday from 12 to 2. Some of the producers will rotate in and out. I think next week's going to be Sean Mapes from the Paul Gallant Show. I don't even know if I said that right.
I think you got it right.
I've never asked Sean how to say his last name.
It's definitely Sean Mapes.
Okay, I just like realized that as I said it.
You really concerned me that I've been saying it wrong for 5 years now.
No, I just was like, I don't know if I know how to. I just read it on Twitter. I think next week's gonna be myself, Sean, and RJ from the bench next week, and so we'll be rotating in and out from the 12 to 2 show here going forward. BMAC will also be part of it. Josh will be here every week, so you guys can catch us. You guys can find us obviously on our weekday shows as well and on Twitter, and we do have a podcast channel.
It's up already?
It's up already. It'll be somewhere on,
let's go,
I think, Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it these days. I still call it iTunes, but I know that's wrong.
Spotify, the whole nine?
Great question. I'll look into that.
Okay.
But I think it's at least on Apple Podcasts. So if you guys are missing this show, you can catch it there. And, of course, watch the replay of us on Twitch if you love how much we look. I wish you guys could see how Andrew looks before the show.
We don't need to go into this, Joe. We can leave this behind.
I'm not going to share the picture. I'm just saying, if Andrew ever, like, crosses me, I've got dirt.
And it's not good.
It's not good. It's not your fault.
Yeah, the camera would ever put some sort of filter on me on the Twitch channel.
Yeah, and you were, like, blue.
Yeah, blue with, like, very, very violet lips. It was strange.
It was an odd one. What is your what's your nightmare scenario for the Texans? Is it Levis? We were talking about this yesterday on the Killer Bees. Like, what's your we did dream versus nightmare scenario for quarterback. A lot of people were coming up with like Lamar Jackson, of like you wait for a quarterback and the next offseason Lamar's traded, and like you've added enough to where like you could attract a quarterback like that. I like Lamar. I wouldn't pay him that much money just where you're at as a franchise personally. I'd rather draft a young guy.
I just don't think you're ready to have a guy like Lamar come in. Like, don't get me wrong. I think Lamar comes in and you're immediately competing for the playoffs, but I don't think you're anywhere close to reaching the pinnacle of, you know, being in the AFC title game, trying to get to the Super Bowl. And we've seen enough of that as the Texans over these last 10 years where it's just the quarterback and not really a ton else around him.
Yeah.
That's not a really viable scenario.
Yeah, I think for me, like, my almost nightmare is they just wait, and then but they get it wrong. Like, I think this is really the nightmare scenario for the Texans, okay? Is they draft Will Anderson or Jalen Carter with the second pick, and they go veteran or Davis Mills next season. Like, whether it's Garoppolo.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
And you go veteran, but then during the season, you win like 6-7 games. And you have like the 7th to 10th pick in the draft, and the teams with the top two picks need a quarterback. So you're not going to have any chance to trade up and get Caleb Williams and Drake May. And like, that to me is like why you can't wait. You can't wait because if you win too many games, let's say the Bears suck again next year. Like, my theory is that they stick with Fields. If they suck again, they draft Caleb Williams. If a team like the Bears and, like, let's say the Buccaneers have the first and second pick in the draft next year, and they need a quarterback.
The Commanders.
And the Texans can't move up. Then you've got a huge problem because then you're just screwed. Like, that's why you have to take a quarterback. I think, to me, no questions asked in this draft.
Yeah, that's 100% my worst case scenario, my nightmare scenario for this year's draft would be if they somehow leave the first round of the draft without taking a quarterback, I think everybody in that front office should be packing their bags the next day. Like, that is just completely, wholly, and totally unacceptable given where this franchise currently is. Like, I understand the thought process of you need to stockpile talent, but if you're stockpiling talent without the right guy behind center, it all does not matter at all. And I simply can't be sold on paying somebody like Jimmy G, you know, $20 million a year. Derek Carr bringing the Carr name back into Houston for $25, $30, $35 million a year.
That sounds like, so gross.
I cannot sell myself on that idea whatsoever. Like, look, you leave round one with a quarterback. I would significantly prefer that it's a quarterback with the first pick in the first round, but you leave round one with a quarterback no matter what, no questions asked. That is like a non-negotiable scenario.
The only guy that I would consider, because you hired D'Amico Ryans, if he has seen enough in practice and Trey Lance is really available for a third round pick.
That's an interesting scenario.
I would be okay with that. Because if you look back before the pandemic, Daniel Jeremiah had Trey Lance as his number two rated quarterback going into that season. Then Trey Lance, because North Dakota State, whatever, South Dakota State, wherever he played, that conference didn't play football. He played in one game. He then sat out. Then everyone got hurt. Or then he got hurt this year. He's played no football over the last 3 years. So if D'Amico has seen enough in practice that he believes in Trey Lance, there's enough boom or bust to where, like, he's either going to be good or you'll probably be bad enough to get Caleb Williams and Drake May that I think I would consider that. But I just don't know if the 49ers are going to do that. Like,
I think that they are still sold on him being their quarterback long term.
Yeah, I don't buy this Brock Purdy.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, do you think that if Kyle Shanahan could devise and scheme an offense that lets Brock Purdy be successful, given the limited physical ability that he has, that he could not do the same with Trey Lance? It's not like Brock Purdy was some standout over at Iowa State. He was a good college quarterback, but he was Mr. Irrelevant for a very good reason. He had a very poor tail end of his college career at Iowa State compared to what he did previously. And, you know, he's not, you know, slinging the ball over the yard the way that Trey Lance can. So if that they are willing to deal Trey Lance for, I mean, if it was just a third round pick, I think I'd be very, very open to that. But the reality is, for me, that's a, okay, you have my attention sort of scenario, but it's not one that I would immediately be willing to accept.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But like, if you walked away with Will Anderson, let's say I don't know who I want at 12, to be honest. I like Jordan Addison. I like Jackson Smith and Jigba. Quentin Johnson, I've heard Lance talk about a lot, as a 10% drop rate. And to me, like, he's such a boomer bust guy. Like, you would see him in college. He'd have these great games for TCU. And then it'd be games like Georgia where he was just, like, gone. Don't see him, not really doing anything. Like, I'm not in on him. So, like, it's crazy. But like, I actually think, like, the best receivers in this draft are Michael Mayer and Dalton Kincaid, the tight ends from Utah and Notre Dame. I don't know if I love the idea of taking a tight end at 12.
Historically, and I know we talked about how you can't always rely on it. Historically, that has not looked great. Those high tight end drafts have not typically worked out too well.
Yeah, I mean, so the best tight ends of all time are like Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Travis Kelce.
Rob Gronkowski.
Like, there's these late round picks.
Yeah.
People forget Aaron Hernandez was drafted before Gronk. It's just like, so like taking a tight end at 12, I think would be, I'd be curious what the fan base reaction would be. Like, I think it would be really polarizing.
As long as you got your quarterback at 2, or if they trade up to 1, I think people would be okay with it. There's such a wave of positivity around the fan base at the moment that I feel like as long as you don't do something that is just totally off the wall, you will find people that will be able to get behind it.
Yeah, and I do think like the large majority of the fans, I think there's this disconnect between the people who are watching on Twitch, listening to us right now, ourselves, of like knowledge of college football and how much they're invested versus just seeing like on a piece of paper or on Twitter for the first time that the Texans have taken a quarterback. I think the large portion of the fan base that still goes to games and season tickets would still be excited about Will Levis at 2 just because they don't know the flaws that we know. I think like the overall feeling of the fan base would be positive. I think the people listening to 97.5 like would be pretty upset, except for Jeremy. I don't know if they can screw it up.
Yeah, it's one of those where I think you're right in the sense that as long as they fill the positional need, there's less need for it to be a certain name.
Yeah.
But like as long as you have somebody to point to and say, hey, this guy's going to be the savior of our franchise. They haven't had it one of those, since Deshaun walked out the door?
Yep.
So,
and he's the only one they've ever had.
Yeah. So as long as they have that guy to point to, I think that
people will be excited.
The people will be able to get behind it.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be, this is the most good faith the Texans organization has had since the day they were born. Okay. You've hired D'Amico Ryans. The fan base loves the hire. You've got new jerseys coming. Like, you've got a quarterback coming, most likely. Like, this is the most excited. I think about it. It was just a couple years ago, which they had like 70,000 people on the season ticket wait list. Now they're trying to get people to buy season tickets in bulk, sell group tickets for schools. Like, they can't fill out the stadium. They can say it's a sellout. My eyeballs are not dumb. I can tell you that there's not 60,000 people.
They're just dressed as seats, Joe. Don't worry.
Yeah. I mean, this ain't the pandemic anymore. Still, the weirdest thing we did was the cardboard cutouts at the baseball games. I don't get it. I don't get buying them. I don't get why.
Wait, people bought them?
Yeah. Well, you could like put yourself there.
Oh my! I totally missed that.
Yeah, you could like put yourself like we could. You know, Andrew Carlson could have been in the Crawford boxes for all the Astros games.
Yeah, miss me on that.
And then I think you got it at the end of the season. Maybe the weirdest thing that happened throughout sports in the pandemic. It's ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, the Bullpen, Joe George, Andrew Carlson. Yesterday on the Killer Bees, inspired by Tiger Woods making his return to golf, hitting 3 birdies in a row, he officially made the cut today. We asked this question. If you could give one Houston athlete and one non-Houston athlete a clean bill of health for their entire career, past or present, who would it be? We ask you that next. I ask Andrew and Josh next year on the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back inside the Bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We've got 30 minutes left to go here. The first episode of the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Joe, Andrew, and Josh with you here today. So we got this question for you guys. If you could give one Houston athlete and one non-Houston athlete a clean bill of health for their entire career, past their present, who would it be? I'll go first. My Houston athlete, I went with J.J. Watt because I think when you, I mean, he's one of the best defensive players of all time. You know, three-time defensive player of the year. But then, like, that's right when all the injuries started to happen. Look what just happened. His last season, he has to get his heart shocked back into rhythm, and he still has a double-digit sack season.
It's probably the only reason he's not playing next year.
Yeah, and it was interesting. He was on Part of My Take, and he kind of told the story about what happened, and then he talked about how him and his wife were watching the game with DeMar Hamlin, and how, like, it was in that moment that she was like, I'm glad you're not playing anymore. And I actually kind of wondered if I thought at first maybe they were connected, like the heart issue, and then DeMar Hamlin, and then he was like even more like, I'm done playing. I don't. He said it wasn't. It was decided. He said it was decided way before the heart thing, even.
I have a hard time believing that.
He said that he was going to stop playing the next time he was good. So
I understand that to a degree.
Yeah. So like he has a double-digit sack season and he's going to walk away. And so it's like, but what if you were bad, JJ? Like, what if you just kept trying and trying and trying and trying until like your body literally was like, no, you can't. I mean, I think after the heart thing, that might have changed it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, for sure done. But I went my present player, or I went my Houston player, I went with JJ Watt. I just think we're having different conversations about JJ if he stays healthy like that. I think we're talking about him as beyond Lawrence Taylor. Like, I think it's LT, it's Aaron Donald, it's JJ Watt, Reggie White. Like, those are kind of like your upper echelon of guys. I think if JJ stays healthy, I think he could have gone far and beyond that list. And I also wonder, like, what it does to the Texans franchise if JJ doesn't have those injuries. Like, how does it play out any differently? Like, do you get your first AFC title game? You know, these playoff games where he's coming off a torn pec and coming back miraculously and beating Josh Allen as a rookie. Like, what if he's just healthy? What happens? So JJ to me was like the easy answer.
For me, I think that there's a similarly easy answer, and that's Yao Ming.
Yeah, he was the most. I think he was the most popular answer we got.
As someone who grew up being a massive Rockets fan, they were the team that I watched the most as a kid in elementary school, middle school, high school, and Yao Ming was my favorite player, even though I can't relate to him whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm a 6-foot-tall white dude, and Yao was just this like otherworldly being almost with like the presence and the size that he had on the court, and the work ethic that he displayed was just so tremendous to me, and set such a standard for me growing up that I was, you know, I was in love with the dude as a young kid. Like he was just like the coolest thing ever, and when he was having that 2005-2006 season, where, you know, he was putting up MVP type numbers. Like, I remember, you know, checking the box score every single day and comparing it to other box scores across the league to seeing how he stacked up and where he stood and, you know, scoring leaders and everything else. I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with that season. And he had the foot injury, and it was just never really the same for him after that, in terms of that's when the injury started, and he was never really able to put together those full healthy seasons anymore. And the way that the NBA was played back then, obviously his game wouldn't translate to what we've got going on right now.
Yeah.
Like, he would just get absolutely roasted out on the perimeter and in switches and all that sort of stuff. But the way the game was played back then, I can only imagine what a healthy Yao would have done for the Rockets franchise.
More prime Yao versus Shaq would have been awesome. I mean, Yao and Dirk could have been going head-to-head. You still got a lot of Yao and Duncan. Like, there was a lot of good big men at the time. Like, it would have been fun. And then a lot of people, I hope I'm not stealing this from you, Josh, but a lot of people with that went T-Mac.
He's another good one.
It was just like, just that kind of, it was like, people were asking, like, can we take
package deal?
Can we take a package deal since they were on the same team? Like, can we have T-Mac and Yao at the same time? Josh, who would be your one Houston athlete you'd give a clean bill of health to?
So T-Mac did cross my mind. However, I couldn't help but think of Chris Paul a couple years ago when we were making that championship run, because there's no one on earth who can convince me that we were not about to slay the Giant if it wasn't for, what was his hamstring?
Yeah,
his hamstring.
Yeah, so for me, like, if the Rockets win the championship that year, I can't even imagine how much it would change the franchise to even what it looks like right now. Like, we wouldn't even have nearly half the venom for Harden for quitting on the team and obviously putting us in the position that we're in right now.
Yeah, I think Chris Paul is an interesting one, too, because, like, not even just like Chris Paul is a Rocket. Like, if you could just give Chris Paul a clean bill of health for his career – like, what does he do with the Hornets? What does he do with the Clippers? Now, he's probably never a Rocket.
Exactly.
But, like, what does he do with the Suns? Like, he just got hurt last year. Like, isn't he hurt right now?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Like, it's just – so Chris Paul's a really good one, too, because I think a lot of people – like, that's, like, the closest that the Houston has been to a championship outside of the Astros is that one run.
Yeah, and that one is interesting for me because it's a little bit more short-term. I think with, like, a guy like JJ or a guy like Yao, we're talking about a career in Houston that spans, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah.
And with Chris Paul, we didn't really get that or have that. And the value that that championship would have brought, and Josh, you brought this up a little bit with what you said, that would have been, to me, one of the most valuable NBA titles ever. And I will die on that hill saying that that would be one of the most impressive rings any player could have ever gotten if you took down the Kevin Durant-led Warriors with KD, Curry, Thompson, Draymond Green, all the collection of role-player talent that they had on that roster, guys like Iguodala. You take down that team, man, like, that is a era-defining sort of ring.
Yeah.
And, like, it just completely changes the legacy for so many players.
1,000%.
And it just not getting that ring hurts, man.
The only thing I think that, like, I think this is a reflection of how I feel about James. I do think that, like, where we're at now was inevitable. And that even if they win, I think we're still here. But maybe it's starting now. Like, maybe instead of it happening, leaving when he did. Like, I always felt like James, you know, like, look, he dumped Chris Paul as soon as he could. He had Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook. Like, it just felt like there was something about him, like, he couldn't be happy. So even if they win a title, like, it's like, do they run it back one more season and then the Chris Paul trade happens? Like, or two more seasons than the Chris Paul? I don't know. I'm not a huge fan.
Their personalities clearly didn't mesh
super well. I'm not a
well.
James guy.
And it was borne out in the way that they interacted with each other after that, you know, honeymoon period of that initial season was over. The minute that Chris Paul was not the exact same player he was pre-hamstring injury on the court, like, you saw it in the way that James interacted with the dude that, like, he just wasn't having it. But
which is so funny because he's the one who's fat, out of shape, and going to the strip club.
Yeah. But even then.
Even though vegan Chris Paul showed up, like, right after he left the Rockets. And played awesome for the Thunder. 0724 on the text line says the only answer is Yao Ming. And 9997 on the text line also says definitely Yao Ming. Yao Ming, look,
He was a Houston icon, man.
The other one that it changed Jeremy's answer when we did this yesterday on the Killer Bees. Joel kind of looked at the question from a different perspective, and he went Yordan Alvarez. As like, if you could give any Houston athlete a clean bill of health for their entire career, he went with Alvarez because, like, he's already been banged up a little bit. You know, he had the hand thing last year. And, like, if Yordan Alvarez is healthy for his entire career, like, is he chasing 500 home runs?
Probably.
Like, so it's like, what is he chasing? I thought that was an interesting one. Let's go with the non-Houston athlete. I had two. My first initial one was Derrick Rose. I love Derrick.
Shocker.
So much.
Shocker, the Chicago
so
guy.
So much. But I quickly pivoted when I thought, even though it was my question, I thought about it more. And I went with Ken Griffey Jr. I think, like, when you look at his career, you know, the peaks are so high and he's clean. And then it just quickly gets derailed by all these nagging injuries. He's just not really ever able to get back to, like, peak Griffey, what he was in Seattle. I would have loved to see a full Ken Griffey Jr. career without these injuries.
Yeah, because we've been talking about him chasing Hank Aaron, you know?
Exactly.
Instead of Barry Bonds.
And I got blasted on this for Twitch yesterday, but I will stand by the stance till the day I die. Ken Griffey Jr. is the greatest baseball player of all time, and Pedro Martinez is the greatest pitcher of all time, because there's no connection to the Mitchell Report. There's no connection to steroids, and their numbers are just as good, if not better, than all the guys who cheated. Ken Griffey Jr.'s stats are incredible, and he was facing cheaters like Clemson and Pettit and all these guys, and Pedro Martinez was the best pitcher in baseball, and he was facing Bonds, Sosa, McGuire, the Yankees, those scumbags. Like,
juice to the gills.
I think Pedro Martinez, I guess I have a better argument for Pedro over Griffey, but I think those to me are the two greatest baseball players of all time because their stats were incredible, and everyone else around them was cheating. Like, so I got blasted for that one.
So that was one of the hot takes I've been hearing about?
I don't know. You know what the hot take that got where it started? You want the truth? We'll peel back the curtain here. In 2021, I said Zach Greinke shouldn't be on the playoff roster.
We don't have enough time to unpack that one.
It's just, I just couldn't. I was, and then he barely pitched in the postseason. So we'll answer, we'll get these guys the answer of all time, who they would give a clean bill of health. We'll also talk about the NBA All-Star Weekend a little bit. The Rockets, James Harden, the rumors. I just said I don't like him, but there's rumors he could be interested in coming back. It's the Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Final segment of the Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Thank you all the guys who have, and ladies who have been texting in and keeping up with us on Twitch. We're here every Saturday from 12 to 2. Some of the producers of the station will be mixing and matching throughout. You guys can find us on Twitter at Joe George Radio, at Andrew, at Carlson Radio, at IMJ Chevy. So who would be your one non-Houston athlete you could give a clean bill of health to for their entire career?
Very easy for me, Tiger Woods. Yeah. Like no question whatsoever. He was the driving force of anyone from my generation having any sort of remote interest in golf.
Yeah.
Like it was for a very, very, very long time, if Tiger's in it, you're watching. And I don't think that there are a whole lot of other athletes that had that sort of effect on their game. And we could be talking about him putting records in just unimaginable places right now.
Yeah, one of the most popular ones yesterday was Bo Jackson.
Another great one.
Was up there. Andrew Luck was a lot, which I think is an interesting one. Like, I mean, because it's like a Houston and a not Houston tie.
At the same time, though, like, Andrew Luck being from Houston, that's great and all, but I'm putting the love of my team above my love for fellow Houstonians. And yeah. Sorry, Andrew Luck, you're on the Colts.
Yeah.
I can't wish for you to be healthy. I'm sorry.
100%. This one came up a lot yesterday as well. Brandon Roy.
That's like a very good one from a basketball fan perspective.
Yeah, like he was, man, he was so good and just like
so smooth.
He just had like those debilitating knee injuries where just like you never cut back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it was interesting. Like there was a different way to frame the question too with a couple guys that, you know, who you lost time with, not because of injuries, of just like who do you wish had continuous careers. This is where Muhammad Ali comes into the conversation, obviously, because with everything that happened with the draft dodging and all that stuff. And Ted Williams, of course, comes up a lot. Michael Vick came up a couple times. Not necessarily to the spirit of the question, but like you just didn't get the full extent of their
in the same vein
careers,
yeah.
But kind of in the same vein of just like guys that, you know, went away for years at a time. It was just an interesting way to look at it. Someone just said Odell. That's an interesting one.
I think it's a little early on that.
Yeah.
Like, not to say that he probably wouldn't have done a lot more already than he has currently, but I think his story still has enough to be written that we can't just write him off entirely just yet.
Yeah, a couple others here from the text line. Well, I think we already. Andrew Luck, Bo Jackson. This one came up yesterday, too. And it's, if you had one choice for a Houston athlete, you love the Texans. I get why you would say it. I would not waste my choice on this, but Matt Schaub.
It's a very interesting one.
Because that one season.
I genuinely believe they win the Super Bowl that year if Matt Schaub stays healthy. And I know I'm not the only one in the city who holds that opinion.
Yeah.
But I genuinely believe that was the best team in the NFL with Matt Schaub healthy.
So it's an interesting one because it's like you guarantee Matt Schaub's health. You might win a Super Bowl. It's like I don't think it's like Chris Paul. Like,
no,
Chris Paul, you knew you were going to beat whoever was in the East. There's no guarantee that Matt Schaub wins the Super Bowl. You think you're going to.
Yeah, you had like, what, 7-8 games left of the regular season? Something like that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you still had all the rounds of the playoffs to go through. Yeah, I can't get behind that, but I understand why someone who's a diehard Texans fan
would choose
that.
Yeah. Josh, who would be your non-Houston?
So it was actually just taken because I was going to go a different route since Andrew already said the great Tiger Woods. So I was going to do it more so from being a super fan perspective. And man, Odell was like
king
for me at one point in time. So now trying to think of something that already hasn't been said. I'm a huge track and field fan, and I think there is a year where Usain Bolt, even though I already know he has his legacy, but there is a year in there where he had some back spasms, and I would have bet every dollar in my bank account currently that he was going to shatter it that year.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Jeremy brought up Simone Biles yesterday when we were talking about local athletes and just what happened with this last run in the Olympics.
So I guess this considers mental health as part of the whole health
package.
Yeah,
we did. Yeah, we kind of did. Like when we started going down that path, like people were starting to throw a couple names out there. We did include that. My dad just texted me. He said, and this was a popular one yesterday. This is not just from a Bears fan perspective, but from the older generation, Gale Sayers is a name that comes up a lot. Just like people thought he was going to be the next Walter Payton. And then I think my timeline on that's right. And then just like didn't have, just was hurt all the time. Is my Derrick Rosewood really that bad?
No, I love your Derrick Rosewood. I think like Derrick Rose was one of the most entertaining athletes I think that I've ever seen step foot on a basketball
court. You know
who
else came up a lot yesterday was, you know, we barely saw him play, Greg Oden. Like, just because, like, it almost like, because, like, I think it's like the debate. Like, it's, you know how you have, like, Jordan and Olajuwon? Like, no one blames the Rockets for passing on Jordan because you got Dream. Like, they made the right pick. Like, even if someone that, like, grew up in Chicago, like, the Rockets got it right with Olajuwon.
And that's so hard to say given what
insane
happened in that draft.
It's the greatest basketball player of all time, and the Rockets still made the right decision. Obviously, the Blazers did not. But with the Greg Oden, Kevin Durant ones, like, if KD's health, if Oden's healthy, like, could you have had that same conversation potentially about the Blazers and the Thunder Sonics as you are about Jordan and the Rockets with Olajuwon? Like, how great could have Greg Oden actually been if he was healthy?
It's an interesting discussion, but I think the point that I would use to argue against that is the game developed away from Greg Oden quickly enough to where it would still have been in his window of, I guess, his prime years, where you're starting to trend towards a more perimeter, oh my goodness, I don't know what I just said there, perimeter-oriented game. And with that being the case, I mean, look, maybe Greg Oden changes all that. Maybe he is so dominant inside that he changes the entire landscape of NBA basketball. I just can't foresee a scenario where that would have been the case.
Sorry, Largo. I know you're the one that you say I have no journalistic integrity here on the Twitch line. I remember you saying Greg Oden yesterday. Between your spam and your comments, I can't tell. I can't remember exactly what you said. It's interesting. Yeah, there's a bunch of them that are out there that, like, you know, I think it's a lot of times I feel like you're going back. Like, you're, you know, for the most part, you're pretty healthy, these guys today. I was trying to think, like, pitchers. You know, like, biased here, obviously. You know, a Kerry Wood comes to mind. I don't really know, like, any Astro. Like, someone suggested Forrest Whitley.
It's a little bold.
I don't hate it, but, like, he's never pitched out of the minors. Like, if Forrest Whitley came, we talked about Lance.
Lance would be a decent suggestion for this current Astros team. I think I like Yordan more.
Yeah.
In terms of projecting towards the future.
Well, because, like, at peak level, right? Like, what's peak Lance McCullers?
Who he was just a couple seasons ago. You know, sub 3 ERA. We're talking about one of the, when he was their ace going into that White Sox series.
Yeah.
That was peak Lance. I mean, if you're telling me we get that for the remainder of his contract and another contract after that, yeah, absolutely sign me up for that.
But I'd take peak Yordan over peak Lance every day of the week.
I agree.
Now, part of that's like he plays every day and Lance pitches every 5 days. But like, I to me, peak Yordan is, if there was like one player I could, Mike Trout came up a lot, but it kind of comes up to the Andrew Luck thing.
Yeah, I'm not rooting for the Angels' success. Sorry. Yeah. I don't care that Mike Trout's supposedly the greatest talent baseball's ever seen.
Here's the difference. Peak Mike Trout doesn't mean anything because they still don't make
He's still on the Angels, so it doesn't matter?
Yeah, so it's still like one of the funniest things of like you can just say that it doesn't matter if Mike Trout is healthy all the time because they're still going to miss
Fair
the playoffs.
Fair
all
enough.
Right, rapid reaction. Will you watch any of All-Star Weekend, Andrew?
3-point contest, yes. Dunk contest, I'm out.
No game.
I'll probably tune in for the last bit of the game on
Same.
Sunday.
Josh?
They need to put dunk contest first because I'm not watching that. But everything else I'm watching.
Yeah, the dunk contest, it's got to go. It's so sad what it used to be. Kenyon Martin Jr., we're rooting for you, but I don't really care. It's the Bullpen here at ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We are out of here. He's Andrew Carlson. You can find him on Twitter @CarlsonRadio. You can find Josh on Twitter @IMJChevy. You can find me on Twitter, Joe George. at Joe George Radio. I'll be back with the Killer Bees on Monday. Andrew with the Wheelhouse. Josh will be here with you tomorrow for Houston Sports Show. Thank you guys for checking us out. We'll talk to you next weekend, 12 o'clock.
Research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!